Well, a happy high Sabbath day, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service where we'll be celebrating foot washing and communion today. And what a wonderful way to have our very first home church meeting on the day of Sabbath and make it a high Sabbath day. Praise God and the Son and the Spirit for being here. And I pray that each one of us will receive the outpouring of the Spirit and the mighty blessings that the Godhead desires to bestow upon each one. So welcome, dear ones, and welcome to those joining us on the phone, those listening to the recording, and those joining us on WLMR Radio. Glad to have you with us today. Our opening song is titled, We Gather Together. And please join with us in singing the song. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name, He forgets not His own.
Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining, His kingdom divine. So from the beginning of fight, we were winning. Thou, Lord, were on our side. All glory be thine.
We all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised. O Lord, make us free. And praise our dear Savior for indeed making each one of us free. Free from sin, free from bondage, free from fear. And free from all error, custom, tradition of the elders. And what a marvelous feeling it is to be free indeed in Christ Jesus. So what a privilege to gather together in the name of the Lord and to sing praises unto His name who makes us free. So again, welcome, dear ones. And before we get into our communion services today, beginning with foot washing, we have some special music. And my beloved mother and myself are going to do a duet as best as we can do it. Our voices can't actually blend together at the same time, but we're going to do, well, you'll see. You'll see. And the song is titled, Everyone Has Got to Know.
Everybody ought 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 to know.
Who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is.
Everybody ought to know.
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 Who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is.
He is the lily of the valley.
He's the bright and morning star.
He is the fairest of 10,000.
Everybody ought to know.
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 Who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is.
Amen.
Amen indeed. And that's our work, dear ones, to uplift the Savior and to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify God, that they may see the Savior working through us to the glory of God. So thank you, my beloved mother, for joining with me there.
Thank you. It was fun.
Praise the Lord. Well, before we get into our foot washing service, it's time for opening prayer. And who would like to be the brother or sister that offers that prayer for us? And please go right ahead.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. If we'll bow our hearts, please. I hope everybody can hear me because I'm doing this on a phone. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and this today, whatever it may be around the world. And we come and we thank you for everything. Thank you for this new chat room that you've given us, Father God, so we can come together once again and share your truth, your love, your mercy, and your kindness with each other. You have blessed us in this new year beyond even belief. It's so wonderful to see everybody and hear everybody, and even the song that Brother Rob and his mom just sang, it's such a blessing that we can all be together. And thank you for giving us this opportunity. As we come today with our foot washing and we come before you, Father, humbly, I ask that you forgive us of our sins. Please take into consideration the sick. And Father God, thank you for everything. You owe us nothing and give us everything. And in Jesus' name we say thank you. Amen.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you so much. And before we actually get into the foot washing service, I wanted to share some things with you. And the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to can be found on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1252.htm. And what do we need to be prepared? What do we need to do in order to enter into this foot washing service in the proper way? And in quote number one from John 13, verses 1 to 17, we're told some of what this preparation is. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So when Christ came to Peter, Peter's response was, You're not going to do what you want to do with me. I'm not going to let you. You want to wash me, and I'm not going to let you wash me. And Christ told Peter that if you do not allow me to wash you, then you're not my disciple. You can't have connection with me. How many of us are saying the same thing today? That when Christ wants to cleanse us from something within, some dirty aspect to our character, we say, Lord, I'm not going to let you do it. And instead of Christ taking us at our word and then walking away sorrowful, he continues to admonish us, to encourage us, to awaken us to the dire consequences. And he says to us, if you will not allow me to wash you, to cleanse you from this stain, then you can't be connected with me. So now you're beginning to see a little deeper insight into the symbology behind this foot washing service. It's more than just putting your feet in a pan of water and having another person wash it and dry it. The spiritual significance is allowing Christ to cleanse us from every spot and stain of sin. And we must allow him to do that. In other words, we must humbly permit Christ to do this work for us. Pride has to be dead. Self has to be crucified before Christ can cleanse us. Continuing. Simon Peter saith unto him, let me scroll down here. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save or except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. What did Christ mean by this statement? He'd come there to wash Peter's feet, not to give Peter an entire bath. What did it mean that you're clean, but not completely? Peter, as well as the rest of the disciples, had been baptized in the baptism of repentance. So in that aspect, they were clean. They'd gone through that washing process, had all their sins forgiven. They were walking in a new life. But Peter's feet had become dirty. Peter's character still had some spots and stains of sin that needed to be remedied, needed to be washed away. So Peter didn't need to go back and become rebaptized all over again. He just needed to have the Savior cleanse him from these other areas. So when Peter said, well, if you have to wash me, then wash everything of me. And Christ said, you don't need to be rebaptized. You don't need to be rewashed completely. You just need to have this stain of sin removed from you, which was a symbol of having Peter's feet washed. And then Christ says, and ye are clean, but not all. And that referred to Judas as we continue. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he saith unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So then what did Christ mean when he said here that if I, your Lord, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet? Now, Christ was washing the stain of sin from Peter's feet. So then if we wash one another's feet, what are we doing in symbol by that process? Peter had sinned against the Lord, and the Lord was washing that sin away from Peter. So then, when we wash one another's feet, what are we in essence doing? Amen. Forgiveness. That's why we're not just to wash the feet of those who are our friends or those who have done nothing against us, those that we're at peace with. We're to seek out and wash the feet of those that have sinned against us. In essence, we're saying, I'm willing to forgive you this sin. And that's why it's a service of humility. If you have a grudge against another member in the church family, and you're there in one locality, wash their feet. Humble yourself and get rid of that prejudice between you. Get rid of that wrong that's been done. Don't harbor it in your heart. It will eat you out. It will destroy your faith. Don't allow it to brood and fester and grow until it turns to hatred. Because if you have hate in your heart for another, you can't have God there at the same time. God is a God of love, not hate. So if you've allowed a wrong to fester and grow until it's hatred, you've allowed God to be supplanted in your heart. So it's not just Christ that is to wash us after we've embraced him as the Savior and been baptized. But we're also to wash one another's feet, remove that stain of sin they may have committed against us. And if we're unwilling to follow the example of the Savior, what kind of Christians are we? What kind of followers of Christ are we? We're not greater than our Savior is. He's given us an example to follow. And you really don't become happy just by knowing your Savior's will. You become happy if ye do the Savior's will, if you follow his example. How can you really be happy if you have a grudge against someone? If someone has harmed you in some way and you hold it, how can you be happy with that? So that's why Christ says, happy are you if you follow this example and wash one another's feet. Seek to get rid of that stain that's between you and another brother or sister. And what true happiness and joy it is to dwell together in love and unity with one another, without there being any kind of barriers between. Everything eliminated so that it's truly you in love and association, fellowship and harmony with other members, and all cemented in Christ Jesus. So what is the purpose of this foot washing ceremony? What's the meaning? Why did Christ give it among the very last things he did before he was crucified? If you look at quote number 2, and this is from Desire of Ages, page 646 to 651. Solemnly Christ said to Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. The service which Peter refused was the type of a higher cleansing. Christ had come to wash the heart from the stain of sin. In refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet, Peter was refusing the higher cleansing included in the lower. He was really rejecting his Lord. It is not humiliating to the Master to allow him to work for our purification. The truest humility is to receive with thankful heart any provision made in our behalf and with earnestness to do service for Christ. Like Peter and his brethren, we too have been washed in the blood of Christ, yet often through contact with evil, the heart's purity is soiled. We must come to Christ for his cleansing grace. Peter shrank from bringing his soiled feet in contact with the hands of his Lord and Master. but how often we bring our sinful, polluted hearts in contact with the heart of Christ. How grievous to him is our evil temper, our vanity, and pride. Yet all our infirmity and defilement we must bring to him. He alone can wash us clean. We are not prepared for communion with him unless cleansed by his efficacy. So that's why this foot washing service occurs first before communion with the bread and the wine or the grape juice. We must become cleansed with one another and with Christ cleansing us all so that we may be prepared for the communion service following. Continuing. This ordinance is Christ's appointed preparation for the sacramental service. While pride, variance, and strife for supremacy are cherished, the heart cannot enter into fellowship with Christ. So as if there's strife among us, if there's variance, then our heart is not prepared for the communion service. We're not prepared to enter into fellowship with Christ. And even though we may go through the rounds and go through the ceremony, it won't benefit us. We won't receive the blessing, but we're instead in danger of receiving the curse. And there is a curse attached to partaking of the communion service with a heart that has not been cleansed. So while pride, variance, strife, and any other discord is in your heart, you're not ready for fellowship with Christ in the communion service. Continuing. We are not prepared to receive the communion of his body and his blood. Therefore it was that Jesus appointed the memorial of his humiliation to be first observed. So that's what this foot washing service is designed to do. And I pray that each one of us will be in the right frame of humbleness and lowliness to allow Christ as well as one another to wash us from all pride, variance, strife, dissension, disunity, anger, prejudice, even hatred. To cleanse us from all of that, that we may truly be prepared to enter into fellowship, into communion with our Lord. Continuing. As they come to this ordinance, the children of God should bring to remembrance the words of the Lord of life and glory. Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. There is in mankind, a disposition to esteem himself more highly than his brother, to work for self, to seek the highest place. And often this results in evil surmisings and bitterness of spirit. The ordinance preceding the Lord's Supper, in other words, this foot washing service, is to clear away these misunderstandings, to bring man out of his selfishness, down from his stilts of self-exaltation, to the humility of heart that will lead him to serve his brother. Not just to wash his feet, but to seek to bring about the ending of bitterness, of dissension, of the variance that has occurred. And we're not left alone to do this work of humiliation. We have help, and praise God for the help. Continuing. The Holy Watcher from heaven is present at this season to make it one of soul searching, of conviction of sin, and of the blessed assurance of sins forgiven. So Christ did not just give us the example and tell us to follow it without him also being there himself to convict us of sin through the Holy Spirit, to make it of soul searching, looking at yourself and examining yourself to see if these things are rankling in your heart. And if so, to confess and repent of it and put it away. And to all who do that, Christ will bring the blessed assurance of that sin or sins being forgiven, washed away. Continuing. Christ, in the fullness of his grace, is there to change the current of the thoughts that have been running in selfish channels. The Holy Spirit quickens the sensibilities of those who follow the example of their Lord. Now notice it says that the Spirit quickens the sensibilities of those before they follow the example? No. Who follow the example of their Lord? So while you're in the action of washing the feet of an individual that you have something against or has done something against you, the Holy Spirit is then working on your heart as well as the heart of the brother or sister that you're washing the feet of to make the heart more sensible to the wrongs, especially to your own wrongs. So it just doesn't become an action in which you know that someone has a grudge against you or you have a grudge against someone else and you go to them to wash their feet so that they will repent to you. If you come in that frame of mind with that motive, it's not going to accomplish the cleansing work that Christ and the Spirit want to do for you. The Spirit is there to quicken your sensibilities to your wrongs in that issue. And the Spirit is also there to quicken the sensibility of the wrongs of the person that you're washing the feet of. That way both of you become humble. Both of you come into a position to recognize wrongs, to repent of them, and to have them cleansed away so that both of you will be prepared for the blessing of communion. So entering into the service, our thoughts should be, Lord, cleanse me from sin. Lord, reveal to me my sins. Reveal to me if I'm guilty of anything that I've done wrong to another. Convict them the same way. And if there's dissension, then Lord, bring about an end to this dissension. Eliminate bitterness, prejudice, hatred, grudges. Eliminate it all from my heart. And work upon everyone else here to do the same for them. That's the focus. Cleanse me from sin. And if you come into this foot washing service with that frame of mind, with that motive, then it's going to happen. We have the promise that Christ and the Spirit are there to make it happen. Continuing. As the Savior's humiliation for us is remembered, thought links with thought. A chain of memories is called up. Memories of God's great goodness and of the favor and tenderness of earthly friends. Friends that are brethren that you may have a grudge against for something that they did. But the history of all the goodness that they've brought to you in the past is brought back to mind by the Spirit. Blessings forgotten, mercies abused, kindnesses slighted are called to mind. Not just in others, but in yourself as well. Roots of bitterness that have crowded out the precious plant of love are made manifest. Defects of character, neglect of duties, ingratitude to God, coldness toward our brethren are called to remembrance. Sin is seen in the light in which God views it. In other words, our understanding is opened. We see things as God sees them. And if that happens, continuing, our thoughts are not thoughts of self-complacency. We're okay. We're not like other men. But of severe self-censure and humiliation. When you see sin as God views it, when you see things as God sees them, you're not going to be content with your experience. You're going to see how far short you are of representing Christ in character. Nothing to be proud of. Nothing to pat your back on. But something that you regret doing, and you're censuring yourself because of it. Why didn't I see this before? And that leads to humiliation. praise God for the Savior and the Spirit being here to work upon our hearts. And when our thoughts are no longer thoughts of self-complacency, I'm all right and everyone else is all wrong, but instead we're reproaching ourselves for the wrongs that we've done, we're humble now, no longer uplifted. Then, continuing, the mind is energized to break down every barrier that has caused alienation. That's division. When we're no longer self-complacent, we're humble, recognizing our own wrongs. Then the mind is energized to break down any barrier between us and another. Continuing, evil thinking and evil speaking are put away. So any negative or evil thoughts you've had about another are given up. No longer do you desire to speak of these evil thinking or evil thoughts to others. You're willing to get rid of it, to let it go, no longer dwell upon it. Continuing, sins are confessed. Confess to one another. This isn't talking just to God, although it could be, but it's referring to one another. Sins are confessed to others. They are forgiven by others. The subduing grace of Christ comes into the soul, and the love of Christ draws hearts together in a blessed unity. That's the goal of foot washing. To have the subduing grace upon each heart, the love of Christ filling us to the full and drawing us together in a blessed unity with one another. That's the purpose of foot washing. But we must come into this service with a willingness to recognize our own faults and the humility to repent of it to one another. So in coming to that brother or sister who you have something against, or who you recognize has something against you, in coming to them, don't come with a proud, puffed up heart. You need to repent to me. Come with a willingness to repent yourself when the Spirit opens your understanding to see how you really are in God's eyes. And if both of you will open your hearts to God, then He will work within you to cleanse you as you seek to cleanse one another from whatever it is that brought about the alienation. And once it's overcome, once sins are confessed and forgiven, what a blessed unity we will have. So that is the purpose of foot washing. That is the goal of it. That we might be united together under the subduing grace of Christ and in His love. Truly, members one of another in the body of Christ. Shall we pray? Precious Father, we thank you so very much for being in our midst. And I plead with thee to bring the atmosphere from above, the atmosphere that surrounds you and your throne, down close to each heart. Let the love and the light and the joy and the peace that surrounds you be with each one, but especially pour thy Spirit upon us and Spirit reveal to us in a great way our faults and defects and shortcomings. Bring to our attention the sins that are registered against our name in our own record book, so that we will not be self-complacent or puffed up or on a high pedestal over our brothers and sisters, but that we may come down off of our stilts of self-importance and recognize that we're sinners as well as they are. That we have sins that need to be recognized, confessed, repented, so that they can be forgiven. And thank you, Spirit, so much for convicting us of our sins as well as the path to righteousness. And how short time is, that we may be earnest in this endeavor and indeed be filled with the love of Christ in our hearts and achieve a blessed unity with one another, and that all alienation and dissension can be put away from us with all speed and truly represent the body of Christ to others. Forgive us for forgetting the blessings that you've showered upon us or that others have benefited us with. Forgive us for abusing your mercies, slighting the privileges that you grant us, taking for granted that these will just continue in the future. Forgive us for any bitterness that we may have or prejudice against another. Forgive us for evil surmising, for thinking evil or the worst about others' words or actions instead of thinking the best about them. Forgive us for the sadness and the sorrow that we've caused you. And especially forgive us for delaying the coming of our Lord and the closing up of this great controversy. Please work in our hearts. Soften and subdue us. And accomplish the work within today that you so much desire. Let self die. And let us open our heart's door freely and without reserve to the Savior entering in to wash us. In In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Well, let us now break for foot washing, and let us return back here at 12:40. That'd give us about 15 minutes, or 3:40 Eastern. So we'll see you in about 15 minutes, dear ones.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, my love, partake the glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect love. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior on the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior on the day long. Perfect submission, glorious at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my
Welcome back, dear ones. And are there any that are still in the foot washing service that we need to give a few more moments to? If so, please let me know in the text chat, and we'll accommodate you. Okay, well, praise the Lord. And I pray that each one of us are in the right frame of mind and in the right spirit with our sins forgiven, at least the ones we know about, and any alienation or division or dissension or hard feelings cleared up so that we may indeed receive the blessing of communion with our Lord. And before we get into our communion service, I have just a few thoughts to share, points to bring out. And now let me bring these here into the room. From the same link, which is lightministries.com/SDA/ID1252, there are some thoughts here, some quotes, as well as Bible texts that I'd like to read regarding the communion service and the purpose of this and the blessings that God desires to bestow upon us before we actually get into this service. And if you look at quote number one, this is from A Desire of Ages, page 659 to 660. It says, "But the communion service was not to be a season of sorrowing. This was not its purpose." So foot washing was to be a season of sorrowing. It was to be a season in which sin is recognized, confessed, repented, put away, and washed away so that true love and unity and companionship with one another in Christ Jesus could occur. But the communion service, the partaking of the bread and the wine, or the blood of the grape juice, representing the blood of Christ, it's not to be a time of sorrowing. It's to be just the opposite, a time of happiness. So continuing. "As the Lord's disciples gather about his table, they are not to remember and lament their shortcomings. They are not to dwell upon their past religious experience, whatever that experience whether that experience has been elevating or depressing. They are not to recall the differences between them and their brethren. The preparatory service has embraced all this. The self-examination, the confession of sin, the reconciling of differences has all been done. Now they come to meet with Christ. They are not to stand in the shadow of the cross, but in its saving light. They are to open the soul to the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. With hearts cleansed by Christ's most precious blood, in full consciousness of his presence, although unseen, they are to hear his words, 'Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you.' John 14:27. Our Lord says, 'Under conviction of sin, remember that I died for you. When oppressed and persecuted and afflicted for my sake and the gospel's, remember my love, so great that I gave my life. When your duties appear stern and severe, and your burdens too heavy to bear, remember that for your sake I endured the cross, despising the shame. When your heart sinks from the trying ordeal, remember that your Redeemer liveth to make intercession for you.' So the benefits of this communion service are more than just the blessings that we receive today in partaking of it. But these blessings are to continue with us all the way until the next time we have foot washing and communion. So when we fall under conviction of sin, remember that Christ is our sacrifice. That's what this communion service is designed to do. When we're oppressed and afflicted and persecuted for Christ's sake and the gospel, we're to recall Christ's love for us, so great that he gave his life for us. That's what this communion service is designed to leave with us as a constant reminder. That's one reason why we celebrate this more than one time a year. To keep his sacrifice fresh in our minds. When our duties and responsibilities appear stern and severe because we want to do something else, if our burdens become too heavy for us to seemingly bear, we're to remember the blessings that we received at communion. Remember that Christ went all the way to the cross, even though he didn't want to. He wanted the Father to remove that from him, but yet he was not there to seek his own desire, but the desire of him, the Father, that sent him. We're to remember that same example and follow it. And when our hearts appear ready to give up, to sink, we're to remember that the Savior is our great high priest making intercession for us, that he's there to help us and to give us the grace and the strength to endure. That's the blessings that come to us from partaking in the communion service, and that continue with us all the way until the next time we're able to partake. Continuing. The communion service points to Christ's second coming. It was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of the disciples. These are the things we are never to forget. The love of Jesus with its constraining power is to be kept fresh in our memory. Christ has instituted this service that it may speak to our senses of the love of God that has been expressed in our behalf. So we're not just to recall the love of the Savior and his great sacrifice made for us, but also the great love of our Father and the sacrifice he made in sending Christ to be with us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Father. Continuing. There can be no union between our souls and God except through Christ. The union and love between brother and brother, or sister and sister, must be cemented and rendered eternal by the love of Jesus. That's what foot washing was designed to begin, making our love for one another eternal in Christ Jesus. No longer divided, no longer at odds. United together in love. And nothing less than the death of Christ could make his love efficacious for us or beneficial. It is only because of his death that we can look with joy to his second coming. His sacrifice is the center of our hope. Upon this, we must fix our faith. So this communion service points to Christ's second coming. And that should make us extremely happy and joyful that he's coming again to take us off of this wicked world, away from sin, sorrow, death, destruction, despair, away from it all, and to bring us into the kingdom of peace and joy and happiness and contentment and love. And what a joy it is, not just to remember the second coming as we partake of communion service today, but to go from this meeting and keep it fresh in our minds. What a joy we can have. So this is the purpose of communion service. And as we enter into it now, let us please bow our heads and kneel as far as possible. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much for thy great sacrifice, thy great love in making possible our salvation by sending Jesus to make it all possible. And thank you, Savior, for your great love for us and your great sacrifice in allowing us to become freed from sin, washed completely in your precious blood, partaking of the word of life, the bread of life, your body, the truth, and allowing it to nourish and to strengthen us and to build us up in you. Thank you for your great sacrifice in making all this possible, and thank you for coming soon to take us home. And dear Spirit, thank you for working upon our hearts, reproving and correcting us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment, but also being our comforter, our guide and instructor in the way of life. Thank you, Godhead, for being in our midst, and please open our hearts to receive the blessings that you so long to give us at this occasion. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. At this time, let those that are officiating pass out the bread, but do not yet partake of it. So go ahead and pass it out, but don't eat it yet. And I'll give you a few moments to do that. If you look at quote number 2 from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 6, it states, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." And please go ahead and eat the bread. And amen, amen. And before we pass out the grape juice, let us please bow our heads. And precious Father, again, thank you for sending Jesus to be our sacrifice. And dear Savior, thank you for not just giving your body, but also spilling your blood that we might receive cleansing and atonement from all our sins. Thank you so much, dear Savior, for making it possible for us to be free, and free indeed. And help us to remember and to uplift you in our thoughts, especially when we become discouraged by any trial or situation or circumstance, to know that you are a living Savior, that you are intercessing for each one of us as our high priest and advocate before the Father, and that you're soon to come and take us home. And all because you offered up your body and spilt your blood that we might be saved. Thank you so much. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And those officiating, please go ahead and pass out the grape juice, but please do not drink of it yet. And I'll give you a few moments to do that. Again, from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25, I believe it is, through 26, or 25 at least, says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. And now please go ahead and drink the grape juice. And amen. Amen. And there's a comment in the room. It says, there is no remission of sin unless blood is spilt. And that's very true. And that's the reason why Christ was willing to spill his blood to make an atonement or a washing away of sin. Amen. And then verse 26 says, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You keep it fresh in your minds and memories of what the Lord has done for you and that he's coming soon to take you home. And what a joyous thought that is, dear ones, that Christ is coming to take us home. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, in Matthew, it talks about after they had finished the Lord's Supper, they went out of the room, the upper room there, and went to the garden, and they were singing a hymn as they were doing that. And Ellen White reveals some of the chapters that they were actually singing. But since Christ is coming again, I thought this particular hymn would be good to sing as our closing song. Jesus is coming again. And please join with me. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. and coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Echo at hilltops, proclaim itchy plains. Jesus is coming again. On the glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Heavings of earth tell the vast wandering throng, Jesus is coming again. Tempests and whirlwinds the anthem prolong, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Nations are angry, by this we do know, Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases, men run to and fro. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Amen. And what a joyous prospect that is. Jesus hasn't forgotten us. He's coming soon to take us home to be with him. So let us indeed take the blessings that we've received from this service and not forget them. Cling to them. Think upon them. Dwell upon them. And evermore fall in love with our God and our Savior for all that they've done for us, including the Spirit, that we might be saved. Praise God indeed, dear ones. And what a wonderful high Sabbath this has been. But now it's after church service, and whatever you would like to share, please go right ahead. I'll go ahead and stop sharing my screen so that you can see each one. So hello, dear ones. Again, if you want to speak, hold your space bar down, and then we'll be able to hear you, or go to the toolbar of Zoom and go to the far left where you see the microphone and click on that, and that will allow you to talk. And if you're on the phone, hit *9, and then we'll know that you want to say something, and we'll give you the mic. Well, are there any songs, any testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead. There's a scripture song in Psalms 133, the first verse, that talks about unity, and it says, "Behold, behold, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for sistren to dwell in unity." Psalms 133, verse 1. Now, I don't know if sisterin is a word or not, but it fits in there. Oh, dear ones, how do you like this Zoom platform compared to iVocalize? Oh, I see a thumbs up. I see an okay. Oh, great. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it does. It brings a different atmosphere into seeing all your faces. Another thumbs up. Thank you. Seeing your faces compared to how it was before, where you just sort of had to put an imaginative face on whoever you heard speaking. And I don't have a camera for my monitor at the moment. It's not built in, but I know I have one in a box somewhere, and I'll have to try and find it and get it hooked up to where you could actually see my mouth moving as you hear the words coming.
I'll be a day.
Yeah. So anyway, that's
the thing I miss most is the fact that when you get PM'd, your PMs all stack up under the name of the sender.
Yeah, that's true. It someone else would have had to respond after you sent your text in order for it to move down. So if you're saying one thing and no one responds and then you type another thing in, it's just going to fall right underneath what you stated before.
On the Zoom group chat, you can see all of the chats alongside the pictures. So it's kind of like I vocalized there. I was missing that, but I found out how to do that and go into the Zoom group chat, and then you can see everybody's chat in the right order.
Comment in the room. It says, I imagine what everyone looked like all wrong. Yeah, and that's, I'd been talking on the phone with a brother in New York for years and had never got to see what he looked like. This is like 15 years ago. And so I finally got the chance to go and hold some meetings in his area, and he wanted me to stay at his place. And when he met me at the airport, I had imagined what he would look like compared to the sound of his voice and the character that, man, was I wrong. I pictured him being like 6 foot tall and having a particular formed face. He was shorter than that, and he was a little bit more round than what I imagined him, and his features were completely contrary to what I had imagined him like. And when I first saw him, I was sort of taken back. Wait, this is you? But being able to see everybody and to actually connect a face with the voice can make a big difference. And I'm seeing that big difference just in a couple days here with Zoom. So I'll dig my camera out.
When I saw Ida, I pictured her a little bit older because your voice sounds a little bit older, but you look really, really, really nice, really. And Joshua, the last time I saw him, he was like maybe what, this high, about this high, when we went back east to hold the meetings back there. So, but everyone is beautiful today and handsome too.
Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts you'd like to share? Songs? Testimonies? Questions? Anything else before we close today's service? Please go right ahead.
God bless you all.
Oh, thank you, brother. God bless you too. And have a wonderful remaining Sabbath day, a wonderful new week coming, and we look forward to having you back in our fellowship. Coming up this Wednesday at 6 Pacific, or 9 Eastern. Brother James is going to be continuing with the study in Acts for our Wednesday evening service, and so we hope to see you then. So keep looking up and keep fresh in your mind the sacrifice made by our Savior and that he's coming soon to take you and me home to be with him forevermore. And what a joy that day will be. So God bless, dear ones, and our love and prayers are with and for you all.